Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to yet another incredible week of Mission Accepted. I can't wait to hear what you have been up to. And you know what? I always say I am the luckiest person. I have such an interactive podcast family that you tell me what you've been up to. Thank you, Susan, for doing yoga through the class. I always do a shout out to Susan. Thank you so much. This is fantastic. We're going to have a great show today. And I always tell you how you're going to feel after. So I think you're going to feel expanded. I think with our guest today, after you have a conversation here or listen to our conversation, you're going to feel expanded. You're going to feel excited and you're going to want to take action. So you're a very action-oriented audience today. So let me introduce you to our guest. Whom you have heard, if you have been hanging around the Mission Accepted family, if you've been following us on social, if you know anything that we've been doing for the last year, then this is not going to be your first introduction to Dr. Eric Zuhle. But let me tell you a little bit about him. First of all, he's Easy Way Network. Everything about Easy Way Network, you're going to hear in this conversation. So he is the founder and CEO, which is where the Women's Channel is happily hosting it, being hosted right now as we speak. And what is Easy Way Network? It's a lot of different things. But one of the things, and I love how it's put together, it's cutting edge multi-tech marketing platform. And we're going to dig into a little bit about that, like a little bit about marketing and a little bit about media to kind of take those what's out of your mind and kind of give you some allowance to expand in that area. 2024 award as an ambassador by the United Peace Federation, reaching over 180 countries. This gentleman's been on 25 magazine covers. He's been on every major station that you can imagine, NBC, CBS, Fox, all the things, over 1,000 appearances on Getty Images. So you can put him into Google and you can find this man. Yes, he does have great SEO. CMO for the National Social Media Awards and the HAPA Awards. And I'm very excited. Thank you, Eric. We talk often, I know, but yay. Welcome. I'm on your show. I do these incredible pitch parties that he does, but welcome to Mission Accepted.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Deb. I appreciate it. And it's Universal Peace Federation. I want to make sure that they don't get upset because it's a pretty big organization. But yeah, and technically my title, I never use this, but it's Ambassador Dr. Eric Zuhle DHS now, because we really focus on unity, and it was a blessing to get with the Universal Peace Federation, which works with the United Nations and a whole bunch of organizations in the peace world. But it's an honor to be on your show. I appreciate you having me, and it's really an honor to have your women's channel on our network. You and I have been really exchanging. It's like a card conversation. It's like I'll trade you a co-founder of this, and you give me this, and it's just working in harmony. Mm-hmm. Really well, I think, you know, and it's a blessing to have the Women's Channel on our network.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. I want to be corrected correctly because that's important. And those things are important. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about when I said to the audience that they're going to be expanded today and they're going to be excited to take action. I think one of the things around media, or when people hear other people's accolades, one of the things that can happen is like, I don't know the path there. Now, none of us really know the path there because the path tends to unfold. I say, you know, the stretch to significance is unforeseen. Like you can go in one direction and then you meet someone and we're on a networking group. And next thing you know, things are moving faster in different directions. But I want to encourage everybody to, you know, social media, as brilliant as it is, that is really 15% of media, really. There's lots of other different forms of media, but I don't think people look at them as media. They look at them as a magazine, as a podcast, as a TV show, as social media. And we know that they all expand, but I think one of the beautiful things when you say that you have a platform is that they interlock. They really interlock. And, we teach a class over here called media stacking. And I think we could just put your picture right beside that at this point because you have a beautiful way of blending one into the other. And many people do. One of the things that I love to help people with is kind of stopping the popcorning. I call it popcorn, where they really don't understand why they're going on media, but they're doing this show and they're doing this magazine and they're doing this. And there's not really like a plan. I mean, I would say my first business plan was an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And I was taking a class and I scribbled out some numbers. If I did this many massages this week, this is how much I could bring in for the family. It was back in my holistic health days. But I don't think that people, they hear, like when they're like, how is that possible? You know what I mean? You've had over 1,000 appearances on Getty Images. You've produced over 2,000 events. So there can be a disconnect into the power of that. So I thought we could break out a little bit. First of all, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what did you do before media, and how did you decide that this was going to be your life, your career, where you ended up?
Well, to go off of what you said as far as media, I think media is everything. I mean, media is content creation, and media can mean so many things. As far as what I did before all of this, I mean, how far back do you want me to go? Because I started young.
I don't know. See, I used to work at Captain George's, and I flipped burgers at a bowling alley when I was like 14. You know what I mean? But but what were like? Where were you playing? What were you doing? I mean, it could literally be flipping burgers at a bowling alley. I don't know.
I started out, really getting into the business world at 16. I actually worked with my dad, and he was registering systems with different things with Edison Fire. And so I would kind of go along with him and see how he was doing the business meetings. And I originally started with my dad. Then I went into party world. I was doing retail, and I was convincing people what costumes to wear. And I was 16 years old. You can't really get a whole bunch of great jobs. And then, but really, I think where it really started would be CompUSA. I got a job at CompUSA as a cashier, and then they thought I was really good with people, and they're like, "Hey, you should try sales out." And so I went into the business machines section, and I ended up being one of the top sales people. I guess it was kind of a natural gift. And next thing I know, 6 months later, I'm training people, and 'cause I was getting like a lot of sales, I was doing really well. And then I got into corporate, and I started having my own teams and things like that. And so I really started getting into sales early on. And so I think sales is a very big part of being successful with a business. And so I was really blessed to be in that position to learn. I learned a lot from CompUSA. Then I moved into Aqua Resource Group and NBNA America. But every time I would do a business, I would run teams because I was the top sales. And they, and sales is everything for a business. So they're like, "Hey, we want you to duplicate yourself and teach everybody else." So I started doing that a lot. And then it moved into meeting people in that space. I met some people that were into music. And I think in my world, I think that at heart, I was always an entertainer. I was always someone that was funny, and I was always like, I just enjoyed entertaining people. And I would have, I was a promoter and an entertainer in heart. But obviously, you have to make money to be able to, pay bills and whatever. So I ended up building a studio from CompUSA and making the money that I was made. My dad invested into me a little bit. So really, we turned our bedroom into a music studio, and I ended up becoming an entrepreneur because I was producing music and looking at other businesses and seeing what they were doing. And if they would charge $50, I'd charge 45, and I'd always beat the price. And then so people started coming in, and I started getting a reputation, and people started like using our services as producers or engineers or whatever. But then you meet a lot of people coming into in and out of a studio. So I started meeting people in Hollywood, and I started meeting people in, and then it progressed into performing, and then meeting a publicist, and then on and on and on from there. And the day that I got the microphone, that was the day it really flipped. Once I really realized the power of the microphone and interviewing people, I got bit by the bug, created a YouTube channel, and I hit every carpet possible. I hit everybody every way every which way I could to get content. I was excited because I was monetizing and making a couple bucks to put content on YouTube. And I was actually one of the first original YouTube partners when I created my YouTube channel. So I go way back. I'm an original OG with the online stuff.
You know what? Thank you so much. I've heard you tell bits and pieces of that before, but I'm sitting here having like this little chuckle because you're like, I'm always building teams and I'm thinking about, my world in direct sales. They're like, let's put you here so you can build teams. Duplicate yourself, please, right? And now both of us in our own business, we're like, we need to duplicate ourselves. We just need to duplicate ourselves in different ways. So that gives really perspective. Let's talk a little bit about events. You do events, we do events. You do some pretty incredible events. We were just at one of your events and it was spectacular. Because our audience are people that take the mission. We're called Mission Accepted. So the people that are sitting in the chair on the show are the same people that listen to the show. They're always looking to, learn, but also laugh. They're like, oh, okay. And I don't know where if everyone knows the benefit of doing like for one. Going to events, people understand. Two, people doing their events, they understand because they see them. And I don't know how many times I've heard, oh, how many summits did you just do in the last 15 months? And they're like, I did one summit and I was out. You know what I mean? They're like, it looks so much easier. Let's talk a little bit about events. Let's talk about the benefit of a live event. You do incredible live events, and there's different ways people can participate. But let's just talk about the power of the live event. And then I'd love to talk about sponsorship because sometimes people are like, I don't know why, like I know sponsoring gets my name out there, but what does it really do? And you're key at that. You put on beautiful events, but you also have really powerful sponsors that come back time after time. So what should someone really consider sponsorship? And if so, what should they hope to gain from that?
Well, thanks, Deb. I appreciate the compliment. I think after you do 1,000 events, you start getting pretty good at it. The event that we did, we had a blast. The Easy Way Award, I mean, I think it starts with the content and the mission behind the event. It really actually starts with the mission and kind of the plan. And when it comes to events, it's hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. My team, we're in the office right now, which is the house, as you guys can see. And so I didn't want you to guys hear any background noise. So basically, it's the team that is going to present the event, and I think it's the executive producer. It's their job to find the right team. And when you do an event, it's like a lot of moving pieces to an event. You have the promotional side, you have the social media side, you have the graphics department, the creative department, you have the sponsorship department, you have the press release and the PR people, you have the security people, you have the check-in people at the front door, you have the stage director, and it goes on and on and on. There's a lot that goes into an event. I think as far as the success of an event, it's really the pre lead up, build up, the smaller events that builds up the bigger event that you're trying to get the results on. It's the pre lead up anticipation that's building the database. And it's one of the things that our platform helps you do is build data. It's designed to get you more data, more people, more butts and seats, to more awareness, rankings on Google, your podcast, your events, and all that stuff. And it's really having a plan that, and it's what you're putting into the package of what's gonna be the draw for people to want to attend the event. It's a lot of the marketing. You have to know your target market. You have to know your audience and what it is exactly you're trying to hit. And then it's your messaging. Your messaging is super, super important. Your messaging has to be tight niche. And a lot of times when people do events, they're not really doing the beta testing of the marketing to find their market. So, for instance, if you're doing a women's event or for moms, the way that your advertising is being done, it needs to be target focused versus broad. Broad is the worst thing you can possibly do for events. And these are all things I learned along the way that got more and more results. And then I think the other piece is the affiliate side. You really have to have, again, going back to the team, someone that's an affiliate director, or affiliate manager, that's affiliate sales, affiliate is promotions. And so you kind of put all those pieces together, and then you have the actual person that's running the whole event, the event director, the event producers. I mean, and a director and a producer are two different things. You have your sponsorship people, and you have the deck that you got to put together, and the deck is super important. Then you have a company like ours that can give you great materials to put on your deck, which draws in more response, draws in more attention. The fact that we have numbers already in our network, 16 million and 11,000 members, and that's enticing. We have a lot of people on our Easy Way Wall of Fame. So if we connect with your event and you are a member of our directory, you may be able to utilize one of the celebrities that we have on our Wall of Fame to be draw for your stage. They may speak on your stage. So we're just kind of built, like you said it perfect in the beginning. We're like a multi-marketing platform. But I tell people we're like a multi-marketing hub, because we're a hub that's connected to networks of networks that are connected to networks, and it just keeps expanding. And I think that it really always boils down to database, because your data is your dollars. So how are you going to get that data? You got to really have that plan on how you're going to do that. And then I think also, Deb, the branding side of events is extremely important. If you're perceived to be a very big, large brand, if you have headway, if you have history, if people are going to trust that more, they're going to, people have to trust your brand in the first place to buy from your brand. They're not just going to go into a website and put their credit card information if they don't trust you. So I think that's a really big part before you even get into the marketing, is you got to have the branding in place. You got to look like you're a Nike, or you got to look like you're a 10X with Grant Cardone, and you got to look the part.
Gotta look the part. I love what you're saying in relationship to, as well, if people are looking to do events, like I've had people say to me, I just did a summit, I'm never going to do one again. I'm like, no, you just did a practice run. You didn't do a summit, you did a practice run, right? What did you learn? How did you curate? I think that events takes time, and whether it's a summit or it's a live event or what have you, to really churn. Right, to really churn, because you're talking about trust, and we're talking about people being, coming in and sponsoring or putting even things even in your swag bag. They have to know that you're going to be there, and I think that that happens over the course of time. Like if you think back to some of the ones that we did in the beginning, it wasn't that we would be like, "Well, that was interesting," but you learn so much by
You build
hanging
a
in,
track record.
yeah, having a track record. Let's talk about what people are really expecting. You talked about numbers, but by nature, if you're going to go in and you are going to, what are you finding that people are wanting from sponsorship? Like I'm spon like because not everybody has the numbers that you have. They don't have the numbers I have. I mean, clearly your numbers are a very large amount of numbers. So when you're asking people, put your item in my bag, because some places charge, some don't. Let's talk about events. Like we charge for people to put their items in the bag, and I know that you do as well. How can you make that right? What are people looking for?
Well, I think it starts with a good product, a good product that works. And I mean, us personally, we don't market you, we don't promote you unless we believe in you. So if you have a good product that works, and it's a great health product, like for instance, Vitella, this is one of our sponsors I happen to have sitting next to my computer. Their product is a great product, and I believe in the product because I've actually tested it myself, and I've given it to people. My girls used it. And so if we believe in the product and we think it's going to make a good impact and a good domino effect of positivity in our community, we'll play with it. So it's not always about the money. Sometimes the product can be, it's not always about the front end. Sometimes the back end can be great if it's a good product. So it always starts with the product, or the service. I mean, a sponsor doesn't necessarily have to be a product sponsor. It could be someone that has a book, or a good great course, or someone that has a great website online. Anybody that has a business, that has a brand, a logo, is a sponsor. So it's a lot of with us, we do a lot of research on that brand and see what that brand is about. What's the mission behind the brand and all that type of stuff. After that, it's really about doing what you say you're going to do. And I think a lot of these events and these productions, they kind of forget about the sponsor. Once they get their money, once they get what they need to get, they, hey, you're on your own. Here's a table. I think that's one of the things that we do a lot differently is we dedicate a team to that sponsor. And I hire somebody particularly to work with the sponsors and give them everything that they need. And hey, did you get this? Did you get that? Do you need anything to like? I think you really need to understand that without sponsors, without gasoline to your vehicle doesn't go anywhere. Without sponsors, your event doesn't really go much place. So you got to really take care of them. And that's where media comes in, because you're able to take care of them. And media is like gasoline for a sponsor's vehicle. Media is your gasoline, your oil. For the thing that makes your engine, your event run is your sponsorship, is your ticket sales, is your money, your income. So you got to really position and place the teams to take care of that so they keep coming back.
No, well said. I think that is very true. I also think that people forget that those sponsors, I mean, we're dedicated. When we go to an event, if we sponsor an event and we're taken care of and we're curated, we're there. Because even for the person that's being sponsored, they don't want to go look for events every year either. Like they don't want to have to meet new people and go out there and do new things in the marketing. If they have a vehicle that's really serving them, and they're having a good relationship on the inside and on the back end with their product or their service or what have you, then they want to stay with you. From a media standpoint, you're like, that's where media comes in. Let's break media out a little bit. When I talk to people about doing press releases, some people are like, eh, but they're so important. Can you talk about the power of a press release? Because really, I mean, it was interesting because it's not the first thing that comes to people's minds about media. Now, if you've been in media for a while or you're playing it, again, a lot of people focus on social media being their main media. And I want to talk about podcasts next because I know me and you both have some little fires in the around podcasts, but let's talk about press releases.
Well, press releases are the outreach of how you get messaging, to multiple different locations that have a lot of follow all those different locations, all those different vehicles, they have followers. And you hope that those followers will go to that original press release. Press releases are super important to condense all the information that you want to get out there for that event. And that's one of the reasons we created Easy Way News. Easy Way News and the blogging for the members, because you can put it all into one link and get that information to a lot of people. And then all those people can take that link and share it to all the people that they know. And hopefully, in social media land, you hope that people press the share button so it gets out there more and more and more. But a press release, if you know what you're doing, it will put you into a lot of the big press outlets. So, like for instance, one of our partners and one of the people that we work with is EIN. And EIN is a real big press release organization. And there's like 250 something media from Fox and NBC, blah, 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 blah. So if we want a simple way to be able to reach Fox and NBC and blah, 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 and we don't want to contact Fox and NBC, and we still want that brand stamp, and we want to hopefully get their viewership to know about our event, we would go to, a press release type of system, like a PR Newswire or EIN or whatever. So we've been building here at Easy Way Promotions relationships with a lot of press wires. And that's really what I think it is. It's not necessarily the press release. I mean, the press release is a big part of it too, because you got to know how to write a press release, which nowadays ChatGPT kind of does that for you. But sometimes ChatGPT is, I mean, you can't get what a human being, you'll never get what a human being will give you versus what a machine that thinks it's a human being is going to give you. I think that you still need that human being for the original content, and then ChatGPT could polish it up. But it really boils down to someone that knows what they're doing in writing a press release. I mean, we go back to the original conversation, Deb, where we were talking about sales. All a press release is you're selling your event on paper, I think. And so if you have to start with that original content, and then from there, Then you have press wire, two different things. You have press release and you have a press wire. A press wire is going to outreach it and push it out there. And so, and an organization like ours works with a lot of different networks. So if you blog a press release or you blog any type of information out on our network is going to do a push to notification, which is going to notify all of the different members of what you have going on, which is one of the bigger vehicles we have to help you, get your event out there or your project or whatever. But it's super important. And if you're not doing it, press release also ranks you on Google if you know what you're doing. And so when someone's going to Google you or your event or your brand, again, we talked about trust. We talked about edification. That's what a press release does, is it's third party edification to your brand.
And anyone who's in sales understands third party, particularly if they've been in anything like a direct sales model or talked, testimonials are a powerful third party, but press releases are incredible. Let's talk a little bit about podcasts because, as everyone knows, and that we've been talking about it for a while. So, unless you're new to Mission Accepted today, and if you are, thank you very much, you have been hearing us talk about the Women's Channel. And a lot of conversations I've had, we've just been having this conversation, is that there are people that have podcasts. You teach about podcasts. We teach about podcasts. I think we teach both of them in very different ways, and which is great. And I've been talking to some people that are podcasts. I mean, my world's full of entrepreneurs. Yours is entrepreneurs and celebrities. A lot of entrepreneurs have come on to the podcast wave. We know that the majority of them won't make it to their 100th show because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for not as much return as they were hoping, unless they're leveraging their show for marketing or sales or what have you. But by nature, the fantasy of having people on your show and then thinking that they're going to go market it for you because they're going to market for you over and over again, the ratio is not giving people an inbound, right? People aren't flooding them calling. And so people are out there looking for people to be on their shows. Fantastic. I have nothing against podcasts. I'm on them. We are on one right now. Clearly, I love podcasts, but I'm in talking to people that are looking for something that's more vast, like, I just want this to happen quicker, right? Or they're in a position where they're like, I'm getting tired of podcasting when I'm not seeing the result. I'm telling people to pick up their show and move it over to the Women's Channel, not because it's my channel, but because when you can take something that's very TV-like, I mean, it's TV-like, it's got the lights, it's got the camera, it's got the action, it's got the conversation. We're having a great dynamic conversation right now. If someone's going to interview, right? I mean, I'm a interview late night. If you call me, I'm watching Graham Norton and I'm laughing my face off. I'm like, feed those celebrities some more martinis and let's see what they're going to say. I love Graham Norton. But if you can pick up that model and move it to TV, you're instantly going from your audience that you've been building, which you're still building, over to a platform like we have with you, where the people that are moving their podcasts over now are having access to 250 to 300 million viewers. And I think the flip from podcast to TV, again, Eric's got a great podcast. He's going to talk to you about podcasts, but I'm just saying it from the pretense of the fight for audience, the fight for numbers. When you're this solopreneur and you're doing your very best to get your podcast out there, and it doesn't compound fast enough, and you're looking for an inbound, and then I'm like, move it over to something like that's streaming the show already, so that you kind of have your audience. And then you do your thing on an audience. Anyways, that's what we're doing and having that conversation a lot. And it's empowering. I think it's very empowering because there's so much incredible content being shared on podcasts that are really not reaching who they need to reach. They're not reaching who they need to reach. And the numbers are not, it's going up on someone's Facebook a couple of times and then it's sitting in archived on someone's website. So that's what I have to say about podcasts. What do you, Mr. Eric Zuli, have to say about podcasts?
Oh my gosh. I've been podcasting since I was in diapers, I think. I mean, podcasting is a real good way to repurpose content, I think. And when you're trying to build a subscriber base, when you're trying to build a community, I think podcasting is the vehicle if you have a business that is a user-based business in any way, because it starts getting people familiarized with your content and they get used to a certain place to go to. Podcasting is a great way. It's probably one of the best ways to open doors for new relationships. that you might want to tap into and JV with and things like that. But I think you need to differentiate, like you talked about. You have your channel on a TV network, and then you have podcasting on a internet platform. Podcasting is internet, and it's always going to be internet. Podcasting is never going to not be internet. Television is television. Streaming television is different than podcasting. So when you're on a platform that has 300 million potential viewership from Roku TV and Apple TV and Amazon Fire and Google Play and Apple Store, and soon, Easy Way Network will be on LG and Samsung as well. When you're on like every different platform you can possibly be on, that all eyeballs possibly are going to find you. I mean, all you really need to do is advertise one time on one of those big platforms that has 100 million users. Your channel, Easy Way TV, is going to start getting in front of those 100 million users because of the advertising. And so that's really powerful. I mean, for one, just using the brand stamps of Roku TV, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google Play, and Apple Store is going to help enhance and edify and accelerate your authority, your branding. And that's a powerful vehicle. That is a super powerful vehicle. Like, I remember the day that Pepper J gave me an opportunity to have the power of the microphone and actually have my own show. And in my case, it was really cool because she had a really nice mansion in Hollywood. So I was able to bring people to the ambiance and the cool stuff. And so I would go to events and I'd meet these celebrities and I'd act like I'm a Jay Leno or Jimmy Kimmel and say, come down to my studio in this mansion. I got this mansion in Hollywood, and it really helped. So I think that the ambiance and the hype and what's around your stuff, it helps you to build list. And that's really what it boils down to, is you're always wanting to build a list of either buyers or affiliates or whatever. And a podcast really helps you do that. Now, in our case, we have a network that gives you a module, and we spent a lot of money to give a tool, an assist system to a podcaster or a TV show or whatever you want to call it. Anybody that wants to build database and interview guests and get to those guests' followers and get that data, as well as get advertisers and monetize at home and all that stuff. We built a system that helps you to do that and blast all those people and put it all into one simple place, which is in that Easy Way Network dashboard, which is, again, I think a big reason why Deb Drummond, the great Deb Drummond, chose Easy Way Network out of all of the platform she could have chose, because we have a very unique marketing vehicle for the members to get results. That's the key thing, is results. So you having a podcast, watching this show right now, watching this podcast, you need to think about you having a podcast and you having a show on the women's channel, and then how are you going to be able to get results for your clients and use that and leverage that, repurpose that, to benefit and grow your business. But I will tell you this, our stuff is ranked. Okay, if you look up Easy Way TV, if you look up your own name, if you look up Deb Drummond, you're going to see either Easy Way News, Easy Way TV, blogging, Easy Way Wall of Fame. You're going to see something Easy Way that's going to promote you and your show and your stuff. And the reality of it is, if something ranks on Google, it's because it's getting viewership traffic. That's how rankings work. You're getting organic traffic if you're ranked on Google, and SEO and all that stuff helps, but it really boils down to traffic. Are you getting eyeballs to a vehicle? And we rank, so we do have eyeballs. And I think too that anybody, and I encourage anybody to get with Deb and get a show, because it is super powerful for not only you and your company, but your clients. And that's really what it boils down to, is it becomes a very powerful tool for you to close your deals, because you can say, hey, if you do this and this with me, I'll put you on my podcast, I'll put you on my show, my TV show, which is super powerful to have a TV show on a major distribution vehicle like ours. So it's going to get you more business, and it's going to get your clients more business. And that's really what it boils down to for every business, every small business. What can I do to get my clients more money and get my clients more of a benefit? And when you have TV behind you, you'll notice that more and more businesses, more and more people, they're creating TV. They're trying to create streaming TV. But not to say anything bad about anybody else that's trying, they're keyword trying, they're trying to do it. I, in a little bit of my experience, I've worked with the co-founder of Entertainment Television, the president of Sony Pictures Distribution, the vice president of Warner Brothers. It goes on and on. I've been around and sat in the room listening to the best of the best in the business and learned what they did. And I'm just rinse and repeating. So I think that our vehicle is a strong vehicle for a lot of your 262 women, Deb. And like I said, there's a big, big difference from someone being on a Facebook hoping that they're getting viewership, hoping that a platform that runs and owns all intellectual property is going to give you that reach. All you have is this with those other platforms. You're not getting the emails when you're on YouTube. If someone subscribes to your YouTube channel, are you getting those emails? No. You're getting a notification to someone else's channel that they may or may possibly see, or they may not. Our platform is going to email. You can use our platform or use your own, but either way, you're going to get the emails to put into your own CRM to let people know, hey, my show is going to air on Saturday at 2 o'clock, which is going to then build your audience. So really what it boils down to for every business is building more audience, and that audience equals data, and data equals dollars.
I think you were in my office yesterday, and this is how the conversation went. So thank you for that, because I think what I really was hoping from this conversation today was to make this conversation about media fluid, to see how one goes to the other, to go when we talked about that interlocking, where I said that you've mastered media stacking is what I call it, because most people really kept them segregated and kept them segregated in terms of they never talked about they're like, no one's coming to my podcast. I go, when you're on other podcasts, do you talk about your show? When you're interviewed, do you talk? They're like, no, I talk about what I do for a business. I go, then how are they going to know? So you've aced and graced that, I've called it. But yesterday I was talking to an incredible woman who just launched her book. And I was talking to her and giving her some help and support around how she could build her master classes, her 3 month class, her 6 month class, her year class. And we were talking about dollars and what is it that she's going to charge. And I said, what would they charge if you had a TV show? Like, what would they charge if you had a TV show? Because she was dancing around this number. She was like, her year program, $12,000. I go, would they pay $12,500? Would they pay $13,000? Would they argue about the price if someone who is speaking the same thing you're teaching them has this TV show? I mean, you're an expert. She'd been in the sector for a long, long, long time, but just decided to pop these classes up. And she was like, oh, I go, yeah. I mean, TV is posturing. That's why when we look, walk down the street and someone's getting, you can see an actor being, I mean, you're in California, so it happens all the time. But if you see a film crew being shot, you're kind of leaning in. You're like, what's going on over there? It is the natural, inquisitive, curious Cheshire cat inside that goes, what's going on? And the truth is, if someone's on a show, they've had to be vetted and conversationed and conversationed. You vetted us, we vetted you, people vetted us to be on our side. Like, there's this whole vetting process. You said it yourself. People aren't even getting in your swag bag without being vetted. And we're the same. We have swag criteria with a video you have to watch. I mean, because reputation's important, right? And so they know that there's vetted. So even if so, she does her show, just being able to have your show is allowing her to charge what she really wants to charge for her value instead of having to compete in the marketplace with what everybody else is charging. So when you talked about that posture and what TV can do, and you like, hey, come to my mansion, you know what I mean? And they're like, and that whole it is a very different energy, and it's accessible now. And we talk about that, how this is a conversation we're having now. And in 5 years from now, who knows what the conversation that we're going to be having? Because if you look at where podcasts were 5 years, maybe not for you, but I mean, mine's been going for a long time. But if you tap a couple of years onto that, like 6, 7, 8 years ago, where was podcasting now? People are like, hey, you want to be on my show? They're like, I don't know. Let me check my calendar. Seriously. And you and I probably do the same thing. When someone says, hey, can I be on, do you want to be on my podcast? We're so happy that you're here today, Eric. Thank you. But when
Well,
people are
and
now
you
like, oh,
also,
I don't
I just
know.
want to talk real quick, Deb, too, about the how the like you were off of the topic you were just talking about, the new age wave you need to surf. And there is so many vehicles and so many platforms now that allows you to be able to do podcasts in a simple manner or a TV show in a simple manner. AI has changed everything, and there is vehicles out there that will literally do all your. In fact, we have one of our members that will literally do all of your podcasting for you. You don't even have to be involved. AI will do it all and be you. It's incredible,
Wow.
And then you sit back and make money off of your podcast doing all the work and doing nothing. I think that's like super, super incredible. But we work with StreamYard, as you know, and a little bit of inside of information. I started with Zoom when it first started. I started with StreamYard when it first started. I work with a lot of the tops of StreamYard, and we are helping a lot of people now utilize these platforms, have a little virtual studio. And it's a lot of people now need income. They really need income with the economy and what's happening, and it is the best possible way to be able to provide a business for you and your family to make the income through using this software that literally gives you the click of a button to be able to pop a commercial on, and that's really what it boils down to is if you find somebody that wants to get out there and you have an audience. And then I mean, our company does commercials too. If anybody needs any commercials done, you have a commercial and you press a button, and they're paying you $1,000 for pressing that button, or $200 for pressing that button, or whatever you want to charge, or you're getting a contract for a whole year. I mean, it's something I teach, and if anybody wants, I mean, you and I still need to do our mastermind together and
Yeah,
the
we do. We do. We got things to do. We got things to do. We'll be on it, and people could, we'll do it this way. We'll do it Zoom. We'll do it StreamYard. But I think what we really did today was, first of all, give insight into you, insight into what we're doing, but also making media very real. And I think it's important and very true, because you are, when you cross your fingers, because some people are listening, not watching, when you cross your fingers about the social media. When I talk about media, I say to people, social media is the outside of the Oreo cookie, but you're using it like it's the middle. You're using it like it's going to get everything out there, but really it's the carrier. I put things on social media that is good media content. But I think we really kind of broke some ceilings today and made some things possible today.
Oh, I agree 100%. I hope that your 262 viewer, your mission and po what is it? What's the show called?
Mission
Mission.
accepted. So you're here today because you accepted the mission and you kept accepting the mission. You haven't left yet.
I love it. Well, I hope, in fact, I have a mission for all of your viewers, should you choose to accept it. No.
Exactly. We totally James Bonded. Are you kidding?
No, I love it. I really love the branding. I love
Yeah.
the catchphrases that
Accept the
you came up
mission,
with. But
man.
everybody that's watching, under Deb, you use the invite code Deb Drummond. At least create an account and set up your profile. Whether you have a podcast or a business or events or whatever, set up your profile. I promise you'll love the platform, which is the platform that powers the women's channel. And I am so excited, Deb. I got to tell you, I'm beyond excited about the women's channel and the meetings, the behind the curtain meetings that we're having right now, and how big this thing is growing
Yeah,
every day, it seems like.
I know. So Carmel's going to have that in the show notes, the fantastic show notes. So that's all going to be there. Thank you so much for joining. I'm going to talk to the audience a little bit. Thank you so much for doing what you do. Share, comment, call us back, email us back, let us know how you're doing. If you want to be sitting where Eric's sitting, it's super easy. We have three different ways to podcast. Come on in with your buddies. We do group shows. They are so incredible. If you want to do a group show, if you want to do a solo show like we're doing today, or if you want to do a three-part mini series, and absolutely, we are upcoming to yet another powerful summit. You know that we have an international party that goes on. You are always invited. Bring your friends. Free if it needs to be. Donation, please, if you can.
I just got to say, you guys are going to be so excited about Dr. Dante Sears coming on this event coming up. I'm very excited to watch her just rock your stage like a the NASA rocket ship.
That's awesome. We're very excited and very honored to have her. The caliber of content, you talked about the power of content, the caliber of content on the summits that are upcoming, and Dr. Dante Sears is going to be one of those, is so, I can't even say it. Like, I was talking to someone the other day and they looked at the lineup. They looked at the lineup that's coming from me and they're like, how much is it for your summits? And I said, it's by donation. If you can donate, we expect you to, so that we can allow it to be free for those that need it to be. And she goes, I thought you were going to say $500. I said,
Oh
we
yeah.
should be saying $500.
Well, you
You
know what I
guys.
love, Deb, is you and your team really are working the platform. You're going through the directory, you're going through the profiles, you're meeting the members and stuff. You met a lot of people at the Azaway Awards. We're providing whatever quality people we can, Dr. Mary and Dr. Dante Sears. And I know you're having a meeting with Christine and the Dining Empire and the Dining Divas, and so whatever we can do to support. But your network, I mean, Kathy Holt, for crying out loud, like if anybody has not signed up, honestly, for this event coming up or anything that 262 does, anything that Deb does, it's suicide. Do they get access to the people that are coming in, like when they actually
Oh,
come?
absolutely, 100%, 100%. So
These are the
here's
people you guys
that's
want to meet. Wow.
yeah, that's our question. When we're talking to celebrities, when we're talking to women like Dante, we are inaccessible. So even anyone who's come on, we're like, are you accessible? And if, and that's the criteria. You got, Eleanor Pan, you got some incredible Lainey Strauss. She's like, I'll take the call.
Oh, I love
She
Lainey.
said,
Lainey's awesome. And
me too.
I got to tell you, Deb, honestly, you like this is a great partnership. Like you give me one, I give you one. I give you one, you give me one. And every single person that we have brought into this collective conglomerate
Yeah.
of like impact are very, very impactful people with a good heart to want to help others. And I'm really loving that. It's growing so exponentially. And any way that we can support in any possible way on whatever you're doing, I've been blowing up your event like crazy, even though I'm not even on it. Of course, my beautiful other half is, so that as her other half, as her man, I'm obligated to make sure everybody knows about her being on your stage. But I support you wholeheartedly in the mission.
Yeah.
And I love your book, by the way. I've actually been reading the book. Dante,
Right
you gave Dante a book, not
on.
me, by the way.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I've been reading Dante's book, and it's interesting learning about some of the 262 sisters and their stories and stuff like that.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And look, our channel, everyone knows our channel, our summits are this or that. They are for women and those who support women. So our hope is that that's everybody. It's better like this, and for those of you that it's better like this. So with that being said, I gotta hop off, and so do you, because I know we both have something going on in a few minutes. And audience, if you want to be here, you know how to reach out. This is not difficult. I make it so easy. It's deb@debdroman.com. Go to the site. There's about 8 pages, 10 pages on there. You can hit a contact button, and it goes directly to myself. So thank you so much for being loyal, dedicated, rock star podcast listeners. I told you you would want to take action. I'm sure that's exactly what you're going to want to do. If you want to reach out to Eric, please do. All of the notes, have all of the access, and pop on in and visit us on Easy Way and the Women's Channel. So until we meet you again, be well and stay groovy. Bye for now.
Family.